You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, this is Keith Jones, the president of hockey operations of the Flyers.
Hi, I'm Paul Holmgren.
Hey, I'm Travis Konecny.
Hi, this is Travis Sennheim.
Hi, I'm Joel Farabee.
Hey, I'm Scott Laughton.
This is Dan Helfrich.
Hi, this is Bob Clark.
And you're listening to
Snow the Goalie. Oh, boy. We got a problem now. The Flyers lose back-to-back games.
That's the worst loss of the year. I'm just going to say it. I didn't want to say bad teams. Montreal had a more semblance of, like, you know, organization, I thought, than this tonight. And Luke's a good coach. Like, I know Luke Richardson, we all know here, he's, you know, I've been a good Flyer, great friend of everybody here. But, you know, he had his team ready to play tonight. And the Flyers, they looked gassed.
Yes.
Like, they look like they had fumes coming out their rear end, and that's all, because they had nothing in the tank. And I don't know if it's – I mean, you can't pick a worse time of year to go in reverse. I mean, there's just that you can't make this up.
Yeah.
And listen, they've been pushed on hard all year, you know, 75 games, and they're still in the driver's seat. But, man, I'll tell you what, that's the 2 points where you look back at the end. If you don't make it, and you're like, oh. That's why I hate with that loss. I don't want an excuse at the end of the year. And, man, I'll tell you what, that 2 points tonight terrifies me, the loss of that. At least one. A worst case, you get one against this mess.
Yeah.
And the way Chicago scored, I mean, come on. I mean, they look like they did. They look like the 85 Edmonton Oilers out there tonight. It was an awful, awful night. I hated the game. This was a night I thought the Flyers were going to rebound, respond, answer the call, be ready to play, be hard to play against, assert your will at home here. Not one of those things happened. Not absolutely not one of those things. I got the score right. I got the wrong team. Way. I mean... But you know, that's what I thought. Like, I mean, I usually think I'm out pretty good.
Yeah.
This was an anomaly. It's like it's an outlier, but it happened. So it's not a liar at all or an outlier. It happened, and we're waiting for the Washington game was 2-2 in the third. I haven't seen an update, but I mean that's what we're at the point right now.
So right now Tampa is beating.
Yeah, that's over.
Tampa's. Yeah, well, no, there's 7 minutes left. Tampa's up 3-1 over the Islanders. Bruins and Caps right now are tied at the end of regulation, so Caps are picking up a point.
They got a point.
At least one, maybe two. Not ideal. You know, you mentioned a little bit ago, you said Flyers are in the driver's seat. It's fitting that tomorrow's Easter, because it feels like they need Jesus to take the wheel kind of thing if you're the Flyers right now. This is not... That is not going well. By the way... Watching on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, we appreciate all of you. Head over to YouTube if you can. Like the video, share the video, subscribe. Let it all out in the comments. We are here to kind of guide you through what has just been a... I mean, listen, I mentioned off the top of the show, it's back-to-back losses to bad teams, but it's four straight losses. They picked up a point in an overtime loss 3 games ago, but it's four straight losses.
Well, who they... it was the Rangers. Didn't they beat Boston, right? Did they have another...
Florida.
Florida
4-1 at home. They lost 6-5 in overtime at New York, 4-1 on the road to Montreal, now 5-1 at home to Chicago. I'm sorry. I'm not going to start doing the, you know, a million, you know, sirens and red flags and everything, but, like, The coach said everybody understands what's on the line. They and expected them to come out and play well and play the right way. They did not play the right way.
Yeah, and they didn't. And we're talking about the gauntlet, and I see just somebody mentioning the gauntlet. Yeah, it was tough, and they responded well. But there's a dip now, and it's because they went through that and they saw the top of the league, and they did okay. I mean, not great, okay.
6 points in 7 games. Not ideal, but not the worst, right, given what their
14.
Talent is relative. Yeah.
When we said 6 would be acceptable, but I also didn't predict that they would not get at least 3 out of 4 points in these 2 games.
Yeah.
At least 3 out of 4. Montreal, I knew, would be a tough game. I picked Montreal. I thought that would be a difficult game for the Flyers. And Montreal, you know, their coach back. They're back at home after a good win on the road trip. But tonight, absolutely unacceptable. Chicago played at Ottawa the other night. Ottawa looked unbelievable against Chicago. They shut them out 2-0. And the Cocks come in here tonight and just absolutely wombashed the Flyers.
I think you just combined Blackhawks into one thing. A little Freudian slip there.
Whatever it was. This whole game was a Freudian slip.
It's his French heritage.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We're fine.
Oliver says, asking about the locker room.
Do we think something's happened in the locker room and that's why they've fallen off the damn cliff? Well, let's have a chat about the locker room, shall we? Not that long ago, the coach opted to scratch the captain, who hadn't played very well. And the thought was at the time, we all kind of said the same-ish thing. Like, you know, maybe he's trying to play the old mind game, the little Jedi mind trick, the Mike Keenan kind of thing, the Hitchcock thing. Let's galvanize the team against the coach and see if it works. And there typically are short-term gains, and they did pick up some points after that. Not saying that Couturier played incredibly well. I'm not saying he played well tonight. But that has not worked. If the idea was it was going to galvanize and send this team on a big run, it has not worked. That part, at least, has not worked. I don't know what else they could do. I do believe that if it weren't Ivan Fedotov on the bench tonight and it were Felix Sandstrom or somebody who has been here, I do think that they would have probably thought about pulling the goalie after the second period, certainly at some point in the third. Again, I will come back to, I don't think that Fedotov, a guy who just came into the country this week and is still getting acclimated. I know you said in the second intermission, hey, it's more important to get 2 points than worry about the guy getting hurt. But, like, given everything that's on the line, I do think that they didn't want to run themselves into a position where they maybe run him into an injury because he's not at game shape, if he's not stretched out, whatever it is, for being such a big goalie. There are serious concerns. I don't know what the Tortorella post-game press conference is going to look or sound like. We're not sending intern Andrew down. Anthony is off at the theater tonight doing his theater duties there. I'm sure we'll tap into whatever Torts ends up saying. I don't expect a lot of very thoughtful responses. I'm sure somebody's going to ask about if he thought about switching goalies. He'll say no, because I don't know what Fedotov is. He said that this morning at the after the morning skate.
He does a lot of the morning stuff, but I'm not sure if he's going to do the post game.
Well, he said the other day that it was actually kind of funny. The reason that he skipped out on two post game press conferences is because he had family in town at both of those games. That doesn't really matter when Bobby Brink or Travis Sanheim are playing in front of their home crowds or in front of their families. It just happens to be an oops, I didn't know. But when it's the coach and he has family in town, then it does apply to him at least. I don't think that he's going to give much. I think he's going to do one of the pouting 45-second press conferences, and then we're going to have the typical thing that we have where people with a brain who are used to how coaches that are responsible, I guess, at addressing concerns after losses say, hey, that's not good enough anymore. And we're going to have the loyalists who are going to say, you don't know anybody who had an answer to anything. And like at some point, yeah, you do. There isn't an accountability question here. I don't know how you get this little out of this team against these bad teams. It's one thing to put up a lot of fight against that gauntlet, but to have two performances in a row like this is inexcusable. I don't care what level of talent you have. You've put yourself in position to make the playoffs. I don't want to hear that they just weren't able to get it up for this game or for last game. That's not okay. It doesn't matter who the coach is, right? You have to play better. The expectation, you've changed, you've level set to get people to believe that this is a playoff team, that you're on the cusp. You didn't do a fire sale at the deadline. There's no excuse for this back-to-back games. And again, four straight losses. How do you spin it?
There's no spinning this one. This is one where you got to come out and you got to eat your own lunch just in front of everybody and say, you know what? This is one where the coach, you got to put a little bit on yourself. Like you really do. This is, the team wasn't ready to play. Not at all. And again, I think they're out of gas. I think that they just were completely fatigued and no one cares. I mean, they're going to be, they got another game Monday, another crucial, critical game against a team that's been up and down like the Flyers of late, the Islanders. But this is a bad time for this. It really is. Yeah. Four in a row. They picked up, one point in the last four games.
Yeah.
They've lost three in regular, the Rangers.
The overtime loss to the Rangers is the lone point that they've had in the last four. It's totally inexcusable. And again, I hope that the coach will come out and offer some actual insight and not just blow it off. Because if you're a fan who's now committed and kind of like thrown themselves into this, thrown their heart into this, believes in this team, to see this in back-to-back games is not acceptable. And somebody does have to answer for it. And you can't just have it be the players only coming out and offering their thoughts. They're going to say that they're frustrated and that they feel like they've let 4 points get away from them here. But I don't know. Bunny, we come back to the same thing that we've talked about so many times this year. The power play.
Yeah, the power play is just it tonight. You know, I don't like to pin the blame on one person. I know Rocky that's his responsibility. That's what his job description is. But as I said before, there's a myriad of people working on the power play. They simply don't have the skill to execute regularly. The problem with the power play for me, though, is tonight it sucked the life out of you. It really, really, really puts you in a bad spot. Yeah. And it was a detriment, like a true detriment tonight. And that can happen. I mean, you're not going to score every time. And we said, but you've got to at least put some chances together.
Yeah.
And make it interesting. Because at least if you don't score a power play, you build some offensive momentum. And they didn't do that at all. It was awful tonight, just awful.
And I think that that's maybe the thing where, you know, again, we come back to, all right, if you think you're going to be a playoff team and you're thinking about, like, if you can try to give a team a run in the first round, you can't have the power play hitting at 13%. Like, you might be able to somehow, in this Eastern Conference where things have gotten really weird down the stretch, you might be able to have an excellent PK that keeps you in games. You've benefited largely from excellent goaltending all year, which, in fairness, has dropped off quite a bit of late. Eventually, you are going to kind of have that regression to the mean. And, like, at some point, you have to look at it and say, all right, you can't have everything hitting on all cylinders with this power play being as putrid as it is. I don't know what they can do to fix it. They have tried to do some, like, changes on those units. They've tried to change where some guys are set up on the power play. But, like, again, we talked about this earlier in the game. It's like, they're the 22nd team in goals scored mm-hmm. this season, mm-hmm. just across all situations, 22nd.
Yep.
They're 31st, 32nd in the league. They're last. They're last with 13% on the power play. If you're even 25th in the league in power play percentage, you probably have at least two more points this season, maybe three.
Sure.
Easily. And in a game like tonight, where you just desperately need a power play goal when given the opportunity to swing things back in your favor, or to at least get the game level, they continue to come up small. They continue to try to make skilled plays when they don't have that skill. And I don't understand how we continue. It's been all season. We have the same talk.
They need to keep it simple. They need to crash the net. They need to put the puck on net. You can't just keep looking for the perfect shot. We keep saying it. The coaches eventually, you know, come out and they say that they're preaching the same thing. Why hasn't it gotten through to these players? Like, what? Where is the disconnect there?
Overall in goal scoring, you mean? Or
I'm saying, where's the disconnect between the coaches are saying that they're telling these guys, keep it simple. The same stuff that we talk about up here, about the strategy on the power play. And yet these guys, when they get on the ice, they're trying to make skilled plays. They're not doing what the coaches say they're trying to implement. So where is the disconnect?
This is called when you get in a mode like that, it's called human nature, and that's what happens. Guys, I'm telling you, guys get out there, the offensive players, they want to pad their stats like, oh, tonight's cookie night. We're going to be cookie monsters. We're going to all get points. We're going to have 20 points, all of us. And that's not what happened. It was the other way around because they did not play the right way.
Do you think that this was once again a case of the team taking the opposition lightly? Or do you think it's that they are physically worn down?
It was a combination of both tonight, I think. There's no doubt they were gassed. Absolutely fatigued beyond what we've seen. And I saw that the other night. One and done. Both two games in a row. That's how you know the team is a little bit tired. Because they're just getting one, they get a shot. There's no second opportunity. There's no one crashing the net. There's no net presence. So that's what's happened. And then all of a sudden you think guys are going to make it an easy night for themselves by thinking that they're going to go out and have a good old offensive showing against a team that's just brutal. And that's what happened.
I'm just looking to see really quick if there's any sign of this post-game press conference being streamed. I do not see it anywhere. We did not send intern Andrew down for this. I'll give you a silver lining tonight.
All right.
Had nothing to do with the team on ice.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw who dropped the puck pregame, but the Flyers announced prior to the game that they're supporting the University of Delaware women's hockey team.
Great.
I think that's a new program at the University of Delaware, and I believe that was a representative. I don't
that's
know
great.
what the person's role was with the team, but that was a representative.
Promoting women's sports, I think that's great.
Yeah, so that's awesome. that was like a
good luck to them, Delaware
cool,
women's hockey.
There's a cool little silver lining, I guess.
Do we have anything else we need to talk about? Is anything else
I mean,
anything pressing?
A lot of people are jumping in the comments and everything, but, you know. Okay, so apparently Torts at the press conference said, we suck tonight. I mean, at least he's not trying to gaslight people into saying, well, I think we played our game the right way. I think we did the right things.
They didn't play a good game. That's the honest answer to give.
We talked about this throughout the week. We talked about it again today, and I think this is probably a good place to end it on. But I don't know how much you put tonight's game on the goalie, how many of these goals you put on the goalie, on Sam Harrison, but he's been thrust into a role that he was not supposed to going into the season when Redacted was the starter. He has been kind of thrust into that role. There haven't been a lot of starts given to backups on this team. Torts is kind of notorious for riding a starter quite a bit. Does it look like Harrison is wearing down to you?
Well, I mean, it's a long year.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, is when he's a goaltender that hasn't had, like, you know, I think he's better when he owns the net. So, again, I don't know if his, you know, pressure from another goalie's changed what it looks like, but that can't be what you worry about. You have to go out and just do the job. And I don't think it was all his fault. I didn't like the first goal. That was awful.
The wraparound was a bad one.
Yeah, it was not a good goal. But the rest of them, I mean, there were not a lot.
There's a breakaway. And
yeah. I mean, you got to make a stop.
He's typically good on breakaways, but yeah.
They were all shots, right? And they were getting a lot of them over the glove side of them. But yeah. it was a stinker. It was an awful night for a stinker, and they need to really rebound quickly on Monday.
And so that's where I want to take this as we get ready to head out here. They're at home against the Islanders on Monday. That is a massive, massive, massive game for the playoffs. You lose that one in regulation, and that's a four-point game. I mean, realistically, that's a four-point game in the standings.
Absolutely.
If you lose in regulation, that would be a disaster class.
No question about that one, Russ.
So they have that game. That's at home. And then they're off for 3 days. They take the ice again in Buffalo next Friday, and then Saturday
in Columbus.
In Columbus.
Yep.
When do we see Ivan Fedotov? Do we see him if you were Torts, do you try to get him in the lineup on Monday in what is a very high pressure situation, but it's at home? Granted, this guy hasn't played in the NHL regular season in any arena before. Does it really matter if it's home or away for him? But do you get him in that game at home? or do you start him at one of the games? I mean, you figure he'll have to play one of the games on the weekend.
Yeah,
they're going to put him in,
it's going to be a road game. Yeah.
Which one do you?
Columbus.
You think Columbus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Ivan Fedotov. Another thing that you want to keep an eye on is shop.snowthegoalie.com. I came up with an idea of a design during this. I think it's going to do very well. I'm very happy with it. We'll see how it goes, but that'll come out at some point in the week. Big thank you to everybody who tuned in here live for pregame, intermission, postgame. A big thank you to everybody who listens after the fact in the postgame feed, in the podcast feed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't done so already, like the video, share the video, subscribe on YouTube. And if you haven't done so on the podcast feed, like, you know.
Bruins won in the shootout.
Oh, Bruins won.
Yeah, good. So that helps. That's a point. Believe me, that helps.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, and Spotify. Leave a 5-star review. We're going to read them this week. So get excited for that, fella. All right?
Yep.
We're back here on Monday. Everybody who celebrates Easter on Sunday, have a very happy Easter. And if you don't celebrate Easter, then I guess enjoy Treester.
Have a great
Treester. Get it?
Easter Sunday, everybody, and we'll catch you guys on Monday.
All right, we'll talk to everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.